It's empowering,
inspiring,
and thought-provoking conversations.
It's the Queendom State of Mind
with your host,
April,
Brooke, and Tawanda.
Hey, listeners. Hey, everyone. Welcome to a Queendom State of Mind podcast. And we are so excited to be back for our season three. And we have a guest today. So we can applaud for that.
Returning guest.
Yes, we have a returning guest. And she's like family now. With us. She's our family counselor, our family doctor. Stephanie Clegg, welcome.
Yes,
Good afternoon, ladies. I was going to say
good afternoon. Good
evening.
Whenever you're listening, listeners.
Good evening.
A little small intro on Dr. Steph. She is a licensed
associate counselor.
Yes. And she recently retired from
Department of Children and Families.
Wow. Yes.
26 years.
26 years. Wow. That is amazing. You're also a first lady. Your husband is a pastor.
Absolutely.
Yes. Shout out to Pastor Clegg. I love him so dearly. Awesome teacher. Awesome man of God. Great big heart.
He is. Can we just stop and like pause for a moment for him?
Oh, yes.
Like I remember the first time I met him, it was like I've known him all my life. He's that type of person.
He's a people person.
Yeah, he really is a beautiful soul.
Very
loves people and so I would say he's overly concerned with everybody. You don't have to know you.
I haven't had the pressure,
overly concerned about you just being good. First of all, being good with the Lord. Just being good. Like, whatever you need, any resources, he just wants to make sure people are good.
Yeah, no, he was really, he was like, that podcast, right?
The podcast ladies.
Love it. Supporting us, yes.
Yeah, he is very supportive. Yeah, he's a people person. Very genuine. But welcome back. You're also an author. I have your book. And nobody wants to struggle. Nobody wants to suffer. But is it necessary?
Yeah.
That is the title of the her
book. That part.
You brought that with you?
Crack that open recently.
I did not.
How did you not bring that? Wait, what's the title again?
Nobody wants to suffer. Struggle. Nobody wants to struggle. Nobody wants to suffer. But is it necessary?
That's my my baby book, my first book.
Okay.
And I have, I always tell people, I have like at least five or six other books going on in this brain of mine and in my phone on my notes. And now that I retired, I can kind of get to some of that. And I loved writing that first book. Loved it. And now since I'm in counseling, oh my God.
Wow.
The Lord just dropped something on me the other day. The name of the next book is going to be The Counselor. The Counselor. And it's going to show Jesus and his approach in everyone that he talked to throughout the Bible and how he used counseling techniques throughout.
Wow. I can't wait to get that.
The Counselor.
No, that's good.
Come on, you heard it here first. An exclusive.
Yes.
An exclusive. That is awesome. Well, today our topic is God and therapy. I'm stressing the and therapy part. So in our community, Black community, we all know that counseling has always been frowned upon. You know, like if you go to a therapist, like you crazy.
Right.
You crazy.
You crazy.
And they literally will call you crazy. And I want to ask, have you seen an increase in our community that are starting to go to therapy now? Or is it still a like a struggle and you know, hard in our community?
I've definitely seen an increase. Like, the number of referrals that come through on a daily basis with, like, the average person, you would be, like, overwhelmed just looking at the number of referrals. Most of them are kids. There's some adults. I counsel adults. I counsel couples. But a lot of kids. And I'm just surprised that they're 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. I'm like,
really?
What do you mean?
Right.
They're, you know. Anyway, they're young. They're babies. And they're still growing and still developing. So I don't know how much of that is people not knowing how to parent their kids.
So it's a lot of that.
So how about it should be flipped then? So it's not the kids. but actually the parents. Yeah. Especially when they're that young. Like, if you're 3, 4, and 5, you don't even know how to process emotions.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. So there's a lot of parent coaching going on as well.
Oh,
because we do parent coaches. Mm-hmm. So I have, like, 2 people that I do parent coaching with. So, but yes, I've definitely seen an increase in the African-American community for sure. Wow. And I'm starting to see a trend with other nationalities who, you know, like the Indian population, they don't do counseling. You think African-Americans don't do counseling?
Yeah.
The Indian population does not. There's some Asian populations, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to see more and more referrals from those population of people as well. Mm-hmm. They're definitely coming in.
I think it's necessary now, whereas though before, like you said, it used to be a thing where it's thought of like, oh, if you're going to see a counselor or a therapist, like something wrong with you or whatever. Now I think it's becoming more acceptable. And you do hear a lot of people talking about it. It's like, oh, yeah, I was talking to my therapist about this or I was talking to, you know, you hear people and this has become everyday language because this is something that's needed now. Like no more can we just... sweep things under the rug.
Right.
Act like it's not there. You know, act like things don't exist. Like, no, there is a problem, and you should probably sit on somebody's couch.
Absolutely. And one of the things, the other trend that I'm seeing is that families are starting to one by one ask for counseling. I counsel a lady, and then after a couple of sessions, she said her husband wanted counseling. So we referred him, and he got a separate counselor. Then, you know, they're having problems with, you know, their adult kids, young adult kids. And then one of the sons said he finally wanted counseling.
Wow.
But only when they're ready, right? Because at first she tried to get him to go earlier. He wouldn't do it. And then so now that he said he was ready, he has a counselor. So now just recently she told me her 20-something plus daughter said she wants counseling. So I think once you open the door and we show our kids that it's okay. It's okay to talk to someone else who's objective, non-judgmental. They get more comfortable with it. And I'm pretty sure their friends are in counseling. Because that's how prevalent it is now. Their peers are in counseling. So now it's become the thing.
You said adolescents. When did you start seeing that increase? Like after the pandemic? I'm curious because at that time we kind of like all shut down. So it was schools as well.
Absolutely. Definitely after the pandemic.
Okay.
After the pandemic, teenagers were going in. Like they were, you know, part of it was like emotional regulation, not knowing how, you know, how they're feeling, how to express how they're feeling. People kind of went back to life. Like as normal, right? We just went back to, we just kind of brushed it off and said, okay, the pandemic came. And now we're just going to go back to work. You guys go back to school. And kids weren't having it. They just weren't having it. So again, schools were rough. Post-pandemic.
And then they were homeschooled, a lot of them, because so a lot for like, I think half of my oldest daughters, I mean, my youngest daughter's high school years were online.
Yes.
So it's just like it messed with their social interaction.
Sorry, the isolation.
Their social skills are just like non-existing.
Absolutely.
It was rough already.
Exactly. It was rough before. And then you add social media into that.
Yep. Yes.
So it becomes a whole big thing. And it's like, you don't even know how to communicate. Your extent of communication is online. It's not even full sentences. It's emojis.
It's
IDK, LMAO, you know. Like, what? Girl, speak English.
Yes.
Like, what are you saying? Okay, can we talk about the surge of bruh? Because if she called me bruh one more time, I'd be like, I am not bruh.
Right?
You know what I mean? I'm like, girl, you trying it. Yeah, she really be trying it. Yeah, that's a whole session. Like, I need therapy.
Let me tell you,
just for
she was trying to put me in therapy when we went to the beach. That girl was asking me all these questions like she was a coach or a counselor. She was like, "So where are you seeing yourself?
Oh my goodness,
who are you dating? And tell me about college. And why did you drop out of college?
She may have a future.
She might got a future in something, but right now her future is in front.
She
just got to get it together, okay? Yeah. I mean, That's a whole other side note, you know. Yeah. But I might need you, girl.
Okay. Yeah, right.
always here for you.
And it's crazy how you were saying, like, there were the younger children, and having to coach parents. Like,
yes,
a lot of us are in therapy because of our parents.
Oh yeah,
you know,
how about that? Like,
yes.
And yes. You know, I was watching a pastor one day, and he was talking about how his father broke his pinky, and I had posted this on social media. His father broke his pinky, right? Mm-hmm. And he went to the doctor and everything like that, and the pinky stopped hurting. You know, eventually it stopped hurting, but it just had like a little bend to it. Mm-hmm. It never went back straight all the way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't hurting. But you know what I'm saying?
The effects of it wasn't healed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So you could not be hurting about something, but that doesn't mean that you're healed.
But it's in your head.
That's bars right there. Okay. That's a good analogy. Just because you're not hurting, that doesn't mean you're healed from something. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so important just to at least sit down with somebody, and talk out some things, because you'd be surprised what, you know, you could hear from them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A lot of times we think about therapy and the church, right?
Oh, yes. Let's get into it.
How they go together. It's just like, I know growing up, everything was, first of all, growing up, there was no talk about therapy like that.
That's right.
In most communities, except for my mom. My mom did go to therapy when we were younger. Like, she was one of the first people, and she tried to make us go to therapy, and we went to therapy, and it was just this little old white lady, and I was just like, oh, God. I think I was probably like
the little
13,
Tawanda
14.
Was like,
I was just looking at her like, I wasn't saying nothing.
Right.
I had brown hair, Jerry curl, you know, just sitting there like, I could just still see myself. Like, you understand what I'm saying? And I was just like, what is this? And she want me to talk to her like, who are you? Like, what is going on? So I was not even having it. But the premise of it all too was just pray. Pray.
Absolutely.
Because God will answer your prayers. God will take it all away. You have any problems. It's the same thing as with the whole pray the gay away type thing. And it's like, okay, prayer answers everything, right? So how does that correlate in getting people to understand that, yes, there is a such thing as prayer, because that's how we communicate with God.
That's right.
But then there's also, we have this thing called therapy. Mm-hmm. How do we bridge that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm glad you asked. Mm-hmm. And I brought some resources with me. I'm an avid reader, and I believe, when God gives you a calling, you need to hone your craft, right? So I read everything counseling. I read articles, journals of my peers. I read books. I order a lot of materials, and I'm always reading and always learning. So Dr. Cheryl Hardy wrote a book, Therapy. Yes, she does.
Yes.
Her podcast is called God in Therapy.
Is.
But this is the book, Therapy is Not the Enemy, right? Okay. And that's exactly what she speaks about. Mm-hmm. It's a fictitious book, but it's based on a pastor and his 10 children. and the fact that over half his children had mental health disorders, but nobody acknowledged it. Nobody knew it. Nobody knew what it was. And in the end, they all start going to counseling individually and family counseling. But to speak to your point, Tawanda, what I wanted to just read like one line real quick. Mm-hmm. This is the pastor talking. It says he took the day off because this was something new for him, because he was going to counseling. And he said he did not believe Christians required counseling. To him, all they needed was prayer. He believed that God serves as your counselor. And this is what historically Christians believe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say all Christians, but a lot of Christians, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need counseling. All you got
to
do is pray, right? All you got to do is pray. Mm-hmm. Talk to your pastor and believe, right? And all is going to go away, right? All is going to go away. So this is the pastor. So if the pastor thinks that, that gets infiltrated to the membership, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the church believes that, if someone gets sick or someone gets diagnosed with a mental health disorder, they're thinking, maybe I didn't pray hard enough. Maybe I didn't believe hard enough. But Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail. Mm-hmm. With many advisors, they succeed. We need counselors. Yeah. Yes. We need counselors.
It's biblical.
It's biblical. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Counselors are wise advisors, mm-hmm. right? That's basically the definition of counselors in Proverbs 15. That's what they're talking about. And I like how I read something that said the bigger the decisions, the more wise counselors we need. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's good. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you may consult your pastor.
Yeah.
Sometimes mm-hmm. if you're close with your parents, you may consult a parent or your BFF, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Right? Mm-hmm. So you may need multiple people to mm-hmm. counsel mm-hmm. you, right. but definitely counselors are biblical.
Yeah.
Mm. They absolutely are biblical.
You need to drop a bomb on that one.
Yeah.
Counselors are mm-hmm. biblical.
Yeah. They are biblical. Mm-hmm. They absolutely are. One of the things that I learned when I was, I got my master's in clinical mental health counseling from Liberty University. Love that school because of the way they integrate psychology and Christianity. Mm-hmm. Love it, love it, love it. They did just a beautiful job. Like, you know, you had your hardcore counseling classes and you learned about theories and infamous people in counseling. But they always, every class, there was one book that had something to do with psychology and Christianity. Mm. You know, you know, which ethics do you follow? Do you mm-hmm. follow the Christian ethics? Do you follow the psychology ethics, mm-hmm. right, by the American Psychological Association? How do you integrate?
I was just about to say that. What does that integration look
yeah.
like?
Yeah. So let's look at it this way. So we're always going to have our Christian beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. We know what we believe in our faith, mm-hmm. And we're not going to compromise that, mm-hmm. you know, for the sake of counseling, right?
Right.
Counseling ethics and principles are deemed by associations like the American Counseling Association. As counselors, we have to abide by those, mm-hmm. right? But we're not going to compromise our faith. Now, as a Christian counselor,
right.
I counsel people who are not Christians. Mm-hmm. I absolutely do.
Wow. Right.
So, yeah, I am bound not to bring up my faith unless they bring it up.
Okay.
So typically what I do, you know, there's a way of, and we all know how to do this, right? Even with family members that mm-hmm. are of other religions or not saved or not Christians. Typically what I do is I just choose my words carefully, mm-hmm. right? I quoted something to a young lady and she said, oh, that was good. She said, where'd you get that from? I said, girl, that's whatever. And I quoted her the mm-hmm. scripture. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, I'm writing that down.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
And she wrote mm-hmm. it down. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay. But yeah, so there's a way to talk about wellness and health and mm-hmm. being whole and who's making you whole and mm-hmm. what does it take to be whole, that people get it and they know you're talking about something other than you, the two people that are sitting in the room,
right.
like
right.
you and them. So yeah, definitely. I listen for clues too.
Yeah.
If I hear somebody saying like, Lord have mercy. Or if I hear somebody saying, right? Lord Jesus. Yeah. I hear the clues, right?
When that
I hear,
was the clue. She said, did she say, Lord, let yeah. me tell you about my Lord and Savior, okay?
Okay. Let me say, when I hear a couple of cliches, and I know they're church yeah. cliches.
You know your people.
Say, mm-hmm. So then I can say to them, I heard you say this.
Yeah. Right.
Do you belong to a particular faith or religion mm-hmm. or belief? Yeah. And then if they say, yeah, I grew up Christian, I grew up mm-hmm. this, that, and the other, then I say, okay. I said, so would you like to incorporate scripture in our session? Did you want to incorporate prayer?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and if
good.
They
oh,
say if they say no,
give it a choice. Yeah.
We're good. We
give
just keep
choice.
Going. Mm-hmm. If they say yes, it's on. Like, oh, and yeah. I have a couple of clients.
Yeah.
It's on.
Wow.
When
we pray
on,
when we start.
On.
We pray. My client prays at the end of the session.
Yeah.
Every now and then when we're talking, a scripture will come to mind. And I said, well, what do you think this means? Mm-hmm. And you have her read the scripture or him read the scripture. And then they read it. And then they're like, oh, that's deep. I said, yeah, because God is deep.
Mm-hmm.
God is deep.
Mm-hmm. He really
He can
really,
answer all of this. He right. just, he's deep. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So
He really is. And you mm-hmm. can't talk. I had to learn this. Like I used to try to do my workshops, right, without per se bringing God into it, right, mm-hmm. bringing up God, because it's like sometimes you would have women in, you know, in there, they were of maybe of Muslim faith,
yes.
or you mm-hmm. don't know where people sat, what their religions were, right?
That's
so
right.
I used to, like you said, choose your words,
mm-hmm.
but then it got to be too hard. Right. Mm. For me to try to separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day it was just like, you know what? I'm sorry, but y'all just going to get the Jesus in me.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I realized that you can't talk healing without talking about the God, healer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come on. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Period. Just mm-hmm. think about mm-hmm. that. It's like, how are we going to talk healing, but we leaving God out of it, mm-hmm. and he is mm-hmm. the healer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I have no other choice. But so now I think people are aware of it now, so they know when they come to my workshops now.
They know.
You get all of this. Mm-hmm. Okay? You're mm-hmm. just going to get all of this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And to add on to what you're saying, so I'm a counselor under New Life Counseling Center in Bloomfield. If I had my own practice, right, mm-hmm. I can project and I can advertise as a Christian-based counselor. Mm-hmm. So that's that, you know, I'm a Christian, and mm-hmm. this is what you're going to get when you're going to get Jesus all day long when you come here. So if you come, if you're referred and you want me to counsel you, this is a part of the mm-hmm. counseling methodology, if you will. So that's it, to speak to your point. So that's different. If I had my own practice,
yeah.
that would be projected that way. And I can do that ethically.
Yeah, no, yeah. that's good. And you just made me just think about something. And I think at the bottom of all of my my registrations and workshops, mm-hmm. I'm going to put a little asterisk down there that there good. May be faith-based content or Absolute. Something to that effect.
Like a disclaimer.
So, like a disclaimer.
On it.
That's so excellent. Like, if that's not your thing, I'm not mad at you, but I'm that's just right. telling you what my thing is.
That's mm-hmm. right. So you give people the choice.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
right. Disclaimer.
You may get a little Jesus.
Mm-hmm. No, I have
you,
a question.
You don't get all Jesus. You get Jesus for real. All Jesus.
I have a question, Dr. Stephanie. Yes. How does a person that has never been in therapy know that they should seek therapy? What are the signs that a person should look for?
I can tell you the most basic thing that I can think of mm-hmm. that goes like across the board for like all mental health disorders, mm-hmm. diagnosable ones anyway, is when you have a debilitation in certain key areas of life, right?
Okay.
If you're diminished functioning socially, right? You mm-hmm. don't want to socialize with people anymore. You want to stay to yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're having problems on your job, okay. right? There's some conflict going on with you and your supervisor, you and some coworkers. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel like going to work, right? Oh, you're taking okay. a lot of time mm-hmm. off. You're mm-hmm. about to be fired, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. there's a
yeah,
big
so that's
problem.
Like the right. occupational piece. There's the social piece. Mm-hmm. There's the relational piece, right? Mm-hmm. How are you getting along? How are you relating to people that supposed to be family and friends? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you have good relationships. You're battling with people all the time. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a number of areas where there's just some decreased mm-hmm. functioning or it's not functioning at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you probably should talk to okay. someone.
Mm-hmm. What if they mm-hmm. don't know that they should talk to right. someone? It's like everybody else around them sees it real clearly.
But they don't.
But mm-hmm. they don't mm-hmm. see it. Like, so mm-hmm. how do you combat that?
Mm. That's difficult.
That's a rough one, right?
It's kind of like saying if someone is struggling with like substance abuse and everyone else can see it except the person.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not going to recovery.
Yep.
They're not going to do it until they see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like they have to see it. So
then the people around them, we got to go to therapy just to deal with them.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, no, seriously, okay. because yeah. that's what it boils yeah. down to. Mm-hmm. It's like, so mm-hmm. it's like, okay, so now we need some coping skills mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. this is what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Is there any way to like tell that person or suggest
that you may, yeah,
that mm-hmm. you should go to counseling? Because there's some people that, you know, we all have in our life
oh,
that
yeah.
we know we could suggest mm-hmm. that we know they need counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it out there. Mm-hmm. We know they need counseling. We know that they have unhealed trauma. We know that they have triggers. Like, how do you go to your people, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying, and say they need counseling? Is there any way to avoid, what do you call that, offense?
The offense mm. of the conflict? Good question. Good question. Give you guys a brief counseling tip, right?
Okay.
So in counseling, we don't tell people what to do. Mm-hmm. We can see it clear as day. Okay. We can see what their trauma mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. We can mm-hmm. see. We never tell people mm-hmm. what the issue is, but you have to establish relationships and you have to talk it through till the person realizes it, and you want to get them to say
oh, okay.
it. You don't want to ever say it. You want them to say it.
So you don't suggest it then?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Like,
that's
we
good
can
to
talk
know.
About,
right.
Let's say someone's having some communication issues,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, well, how do you communicate?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you communicate with your kids? How do you communicate with your spouse, right? Mm-hmm. If they say they're having, like, say, issues with their spouse, well, how do you guys communicate? Mm-hmm. It's all open-ended questions. And then a person mm-hmm. says, well, we do this. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so how does that work for you? Mm-hmm. How does that work for him?
Because it makes the person to think that, yeah, you know, how do you it's get not working.
What you want in this marriage? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I have a coworker, and she's, that's my girl, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she suffered from, like, anxiety and fear and anger, mm-hmm. right? So we all know this, you know. Mm-hmm. We have, like, a little nickname for her because she will have her meltdowns Uh-oh. And stuff. Mm-hmm. So what I started to do was tell her about me and my therapy. Like, oh, hey, okay. you know, I went to therapy this week, and mm-hmm. you know my therapist said da-da-da-da-da. And I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, it would probably be good for you mm-hmm. to try, you know, mm-hmm. therapy this year, whatever. Like, just help you with the anxiety. Like, you know, when you have these panic attacks, mm-hmm. they could maybe help you to, you know, breathe or count. Mm-hmm. Or they might Absolutely. Give you, like, yes. techniques. Like, I've seen her, and she's like, it's just the way that I am. Oh, it's just in my family. Like, mm-hmm. and then she'll have another thing, and I'll say, you know, you should try counseling maybe this year, you know. But she hasn't. But mm-hmm. I tried to tell her about me. I'm like, you won't believe that my counselor said this to me. And it really was an aha moment. Mm-hmm. That still ain't worked.
But that's a witness, though.
Yeah, and it's if a good approach.
Yeah, I was just about to say, if you mm-hmm. think about it, that is a witness. Mm-hmm. You're being able to share. Because it's the same thing that's we do right. when we witness to people. Mm-hmm. All we're doing is we're just telling them about the goodness of God in our life. Mm-hmm. We're not saying, oh, well, you need
you
to come.
Better,
you
right.
need to
or
do
you
this.
Need to.
No,
right.
it's like you're just sharing how good God has been to you. Mm-hmm. And then people will see the fruit of that in your life. So Amen. They'll see the evidence and they'll see the results. And by you telling her, it's kind of like one day she's going to come to you and she's going to say, you know what, Brooke, I think I might want to see somebody, right. mm-hmm. you know, do you have any recommendations mm-hmm. or what about your, you know, because I've
I'm
had
Dr.
several
Steph.
People no. yeah, right. me, you know, who my therapist was, or
I
know.
Asked you some years
fact,
ago.
Exactly. So
I'm like, I need a Christian I've counselor given, yes. because yeah. don't be telling me to go sleep with this person or, you know,
yeah, no, my, yeah. I needed my to therapist be biblical. Didn't take no more people. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, wow. Okay. Sending. Because yeah. people, and I was just, they'd be like, yeah, who's your, and I would just be sending her a card, you know,
she
to
was.
People.
Wow.
like, yeah, I
this
can't take
it, yeah, right.
She okay. left the place her you told me about. Exactly. to track
She's
her
not
now.
Even there. She's not wow. even there anymore. But it does. It speaks to the facts of it. So it's like, well, Dag, like, well, if she goes to counseling or she goes to therapy, mm-hmm. and I can see the effects in her life.
Absolutely.
Like, I wonder what it could do for me. Absolutely. And so, what you're doing is you're being a witness. So that's mm-hmm. good. So, you know.
And of course, I tell her about the Lord and, mm-hmm. you know, she'd be like, you're so patient. I'd be like, really? Oh, yes, that's God, girl. Because sometimes I don't be feeling like I, you know, have mm-hmm. patience. But mm-hmm. to her, she's like, oh, you know, I could never do that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but. Yeah, they have to come to the realization yeah.
on
their own. And sometimes, like you said, mm-hmm. your lifestyle is a witness mm-hmm. and you're sharing. You're sharing what you're getting out of
yeah.
therapy.
Yeah, it used to be a shame. You know, it used to be a shame to go to counseling. And I've had Christian brothers and sisters tell me mm-hmm. that you need a pastor. You need
right.
to go to your pastor. You know, when I was saying like I'm going to a new counselor. Yeah, we're back on. Mic check.
And we're back.
Mic check. We're back.
That means the topic is hot.
Yes. yes.
Yeah, we done okay. shut the mics down in here.
It's down in here.
And I don't remember exactly what I was just saying, mm-hmm. but bless the Lord. No, I would say it was shameful before, yes. you know, mm-hmm. and like some, like brothers and sisters have told me, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. don't need a counselor.
Right.
Mm. Literally, mm-hmm. you don't need a counselor.
That's
you
what
need
they think.
To go to your pastor. You need a community of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You do need a pastor.
You
just
do.
Like
right.
you need a dentist, just like
right.
you need a doctor.
Come
and
on.
I would say you need a therapist
right.
too. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying stay in therapy every single week. You got to see them all the time, but there are times where you need to talk things out. And last season I was talking about a girlfriend of mine who did suffer from alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And it's like when is it an assignment? When is it a friendship? You know, I can't give her the counseling that she needs.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
Like, I could give her some excellent advice. I could pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a professional mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. needs to help you in this particular area. And I feel that is a way for all of us. Like, there's a professional, someone who's mm-hmm. trained, mm-hmm. someone who knows more insight into certain behaviors and mindsets and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So I will say that a professional is needed at times with certain things. Mm-hmm. And my last thing I'm going to say, and I'll hand it over, is... what was I about to say? Oh, I almost lost my train of thought.
But no, that is good. That's good what you said about if we know that we need a doctor, we need a dentist.
You better go ahead.
Why do we mm-hmm. negate therapists? Mm-hmm. It's like a doctor for our mind.
Yes.
You know, just think Basically. About it for our mental health and our, you know, mental wellness. All of those things. So if you take care of all the other aspects of your mm-hmm. your mind, your body, you mm-hmm. go to church, you know, all those different things, why do we negate that part of it? Mm-hmm. And I want us to just stop. And I'm going to say us, but I want the church to stop making people feel like they're the end all to the be all. Mm-hmm. And encourage more people to seek therapy, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. seek counseling, mm-hmm. you know, yes. And so maybe you may get counseling from your pastor, and that's a good thing too. Mm-hmm. But then mm-hmm. there may be times where you may need to see someone else Fashion. Psychological, mm-hmm. someone,
yes.
not saying that the pastor's mm-hmm. not professional, because, you know, the pastor, you know,
professional counselor.
Yeah. Right. Right. So they may need to see someone in that regard. So mm-hmm. like, how do we get them again? So I'm always thinking about how are we bridging, you know, right. the gap between the two, so that people are not just out here thinking that, okay, yeah, I went to church on Sunday and I'm good. No, you went to church on Sunday, you heard the message. Mm-hmm. Okay, now apply the message to your life, do some work, but then mm-hmm. there may be also things that you need to work out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because church or our Sunday worship experience is to fill us spiritually. There's other parts of us besides mm-hmm. spiritual, mm-hmm. right? There's True. The physical, mm-hmm. there's the mm-hmm. mental, financial, there's the social, mm-hmm. and all of those needs may not be met on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Right? Indeed.
Right? Mm-hmm. May not be met on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was, when you two were speaking, I was thinking about the same thing. We segregate God and therapy, mm-hmm. but we don't as much segregate God and doctors, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You say, well, God is a doctor. He is a doctor, but that doesn't stop you from going to the doctors.
Right. Come on.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the same with God and therapy.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. God is a counselor. Yes, he is. But he also ordains counselors.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to read this. It says, the truth is that every vocation should be a calling unto full-time Christian ministry in which we serve God and others with whatever abilities he has gifted us and in whatever positions we find ourselves in. So counseling is a calling.
Mm. Right.
It's a calling. Wow. So I don't play with God. So yeah. I don't play with counseling. Mm-hmm. I take it. It's a calling. You have to have integrity. You have mm-hmm. to have patience. Mm-hmm. And you have to treat it as a calling. Mm-hmm.
Right? And I would say we're calling all the black therapists now. You know, mm-hmm. somebody that feels drawn to counsel and even to mentor, like mm-hmm. we need more people that look like us,
right? Absolutely.
You know, counseling, because then we can educate pastors, mm-hmm. we can mm-hmm. educate people in our churches, mm-hmm. like, hey, did you know so-and-so is mm-hmm. a mm-hmm. licensed, you know, psychiatrist or whatever, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. We there's not a lot of representation
right.
of
right.
us.
That's the
and,
challenge.
And we do need more of us, you
that's
know.
That's the challenge.
Me and Curry going to school for therapy.
You are?
Yeah, we
really
talk. It's so interesting. Wow. We talked okay. about it, and the other day she said to me, she was like, Mom, she was like, did you look at the schools, whatever?
That's
I was
not
like,
wow,
no,
that's
I didn't
really
get,
good.
Huh? It's not a surprise. What? I mean, you're a coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. it's you know what, and it's a natural, it's an innate yeah. gift that God yes. has given mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, so it wasn't far fetched when we were talking about it, mm-hmm. but I was like, wow, I was like, for us to be able to go together.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. amazing.
And she was like, and we could open up our own practice together and stuff like that.
Okay, the next step. That's right.
That's amazing.
So we are. So we're going to do it. At first, I was just like, I don't want to go back to school.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what? I honestly, someone had told me this, and I wish that I would have listened. Literally, probably about 15 plus years ago, she was like, "You should go to school." She was like, "You are a therapist." She was like, "Wow. You need." She said, "The only thing missing from you is the piece of paper.
A piece of paper, mm-hmm. that license."
She was like, "That's the only thing missing." Mm-hmm. She was like, "And you could go online. You could do." She told me this 15 years ago.
Wow.
And I didn't listen.
Wow.
And now here I am.
Because you've been doing it anyway.
And exactly.
Okay.
And so, it is what it is. Now there is that need,
right,
and you
absolutely.
See that need. So absolutely. It's like, yeah, while I'm coaching, while I'm mm-hmm. doing these things, there's a bigger level to
absolutely.
All of this,
absolutely.
And there's a much bigger way that God can use me.
Yes,
you know,
and that's
where
the piece
realm.
Of paper comes
mm-hmm.
in. I would say to people, God can use you as you are with all mm-hmm. of our gifts and talents mm-hmm. and abilities. Amen. But let me tell you, with a piece of paper. He can
right.
use you all the more because
yes.
there's certain
right.
doors you're not
yes.
going to get in
that's
without
right.
a license.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're just not going to get in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
More availability.
This was great. This was a great conversation.
Definitely.
So if you had to leave us with anything, what would you say to people? And your camera is there.
Yeah.
So no, your camera is here.
Straight ahead.
Your camera. What would you tell people?
The takeaway. Mm-hmm. I would... highly encourage Christians, church leaders, pastors to embrace counseling. Counseling is biblical. Mm-hmm. It's needed. People in the congregations are hurting. People have family members that are hurting. Like you may be the leader in the church and then your kids are at home mm-hmm. or your spouse mm-hmm. is at home mm-hmm. Hurting,
right?
Dealing with trying to deal on their own with childhood traumas and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So my takeaway would be to embrace it. Embrace it. I think counseling should be mentioned every Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
think it should be on billboards as the buses
right.
are going up and down
right.
the streets. Yes. Listen, this is a real pandemic, right? This is a
mm-hmm.
mental health pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And it
and
needs
it's
to
no
be addressed.
Shame in it.
And
it's
no,
no
shame in it.
In it.
And it needs to be visible. Mm-hmm. It needs to be broadcasted. And we need to have talk. We need to be talking about
mm-hmm.
it all
yeah.
the time. Every workshop that I go to, I say at least one speaker should be talking about mental health.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. I don't care what your workshop is about. I don't care if it's
mm-hmm.
about exercise, cooking food. I don't care mm-hmm. what it is. One person should be speaking about mental health. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
That's the takeaway. Mm-hmm.
And you know, the word says there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Steph, we thank you for coming.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
I love
having
this conversation. Yes. I feel like we could keep going.
We really could
mm-hmm. keep going, but thank you for coming, and we hope you guys enjoyed and took something from this.
Yes.
And we just thank you, and that concludes our episode, Queendom State of Mind.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Queendom State of Mind podcast.
If you're enjoying the show, leave a review, like, share, and subscribe.
And follow us on social media at Queendom SOM.